It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see each and every one that is out. Glad Betty's back. It's been a while. But I'm glad everybody is here. Mike started something here a couple of weeks ago, or a week or so ago, and he spoke on a Wednesday night about what women could and could not do in the church. And this is all from Paul writing to Timothy. A very good lesson and perfectly scriptural. Brian last week gave one about a 100-100 principle, which says that in a marriage or in the church or in any relationship, when each person gives 100% to get along, then things are going to be done according to schedule. So when I found out that Juan Rodriguez was not going to be here this Sunday and I was going to have the lesson, I thought, well, I'll just continue in this vein of womanhood. And I wanted to find an example of a woman that was just a stand-up character and something that we could all learn from. And I found such a woman. I found Mary Magdalene. And we're going to talk about Mary Magdalene this morning. She was a strong woman. She was an independent woman. She was a woman that knew exactly what she wanted to do, and she was able to do it. I come from a family of very strong women, of determined women, and I think I've been blessed for that. My two grandmothers started with nothing and really ended up with not much more. But these two women are heroes in the things, in my mind, and the things that they were able to accomplish and against odds many times. My mother's 92 and can still outwork me each and every day. My wife, after about 11 years of marriage and three kids, told me, I'm going back to school, I'm going to finish my education, and I'm going to be a school teacher, because that's what I've always wanted to do. And she did it. She worked day and night, took care of her other duties, and about 2.5 years later, began a job teaching school and was only able to do that for about 29 years until she retired. I couldn't have done it. There's no way I could have done it. I look at my daughter-in-law, Megan, that knew exactly what she wanted to do, and against odds, she was able to get the education she wanted, get the knowledge that she needed as a physical therapist, was able to start her own business, and has been successful. I take my hat off to her. I couldn't have done it. And then I think the period to the whole thing was yesterday when Kyra walked across the stage at Angelo State, and they gave her a certificate of graduation and a teaching certificate, and she's already got a job. Strong women, determined women, women that know what they're going to do and they know how to do it and they don't let anything stand in their way. And it's a blessing to be surrounded by people like that, because it's something you can learn from. Mary Magdalene was such a woman as this. Mary Magdalene was a woman of love. She was a woman of devotion. She was a woman of great faith. And she was a woman of endurance despite everything that went against her. The traditional view of Mary Magdalene is something that was corrupted and subverted by a Roman Catholic priest by the name of Gregory in AD 591. Protestant leaders rejected the sermons that Gregory was teaching as being erroneous, but he continued to preach them, and because of the strength and the power and the authority he had as Pope, these lessons and sermons that he gave became tradition that people believed. And even from the AD 591, some of these seeds, these things still abound about Mary Magdalene. Here's what Gregory said about Mary Magdalene. He said, Mary Magdalene was the repentant prostitute that Luke spoke about in his writing. He said, Mary Magdalene was Mary, the sister of Martha, and the brother of Lazarus. She said that Mary Magdalene was the woman that had 7 devils cast out of her. Now that's one time that he was right. This is true. This is scriptural. Jesus did cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. He said Mary Magdalene was the woman in Luke, the woman with the alabaster jar, the sinner, that anointed the head of Jesus with oil and with her tears on his feet. He said Mary Magdalene was the woman that was caught in adultery when Jesus made the statement, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. What his sermon did was to take every Mary in the New Testament, and Mary was one of the most popular names of the time, take every Mary that was mentioned in the New Testament, and then take every woman of unknown name in the New Testament, and loop them all together into one group, and say, that's Mary Magdalene, and that's not right. He was erroneous in this, and he corrupted this woman's name in the things that he'd done. She may have been one of them, she may have been some of them, but she was certainly not all of them. And he did her a disservice. Unless she's identified as Mary Magdalene in the Bible, that's the only one that is Mary Magdalene. In 1969, another Roman Catholic Pope, Pope Paul VI, acknowledged in his writings that the writings of Gregory were erroneous. They were not right, and he nullified them. This morning we're going to look at just a few things about Mary Magdalene, to look at this woman of love, this story of love, this story of devotion and loyalty and faith and endurance, and we're going to see if we can determine what the Scriptures say, because there's a great lesson to be learned from this woman. Let's pray. Life was not easy for the women of the New Testament era. Times were a little more difficult then than they are now. Women were at that time treated as less than. So many times they were considered as something that a man owned. It was not a real easy time for women at this time in history. However, the Bible tells us that the majority of the worshipers in the synagogue in Jerusalem were women, and that the majority of those that contributed to the work of the synagogue were women, because it was a lot easier to be a woman under the Mosaic law than it was to be a woman in the laws of the rest of the cultures in the area. And then when Jesus came about and began to teach his theories and his doctrine, we find that women was able to attain almost a position of equality, because Jesus didn't look down on women. They were not possessions under the Christian dispensation. And Jesus went to these women, and he spoke to these women, and he spent time with these women. He healed these women. He reached out to these women. He shared the truths that he had with these women. And it was very important, because the women flocked to Jesus because they realized that he was a deity, and they realized the truth. One of these people was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene maybe had a life a little better than the rest of it, because it seems by inference that maybe she was a little bit better off financially than some. But we know that as a woman, Mary Magdalene still lived under these repressive times. Life could have been difficult for Mary. Mary Magdalene, and this name, could come from one of two sources. There was a city called Magdala, which was a fishing coast on the coast of Galilee. Jesus visited here. And this was the home for Mary Magdalene. And it was kind of common back at this time. Jesus referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. We had Simon of Cyrene. We had Mary of Bethany. So it makes sense that Mary of Magdala might be thought to be as Mary Magdalene. Also, it could have referred to her occupation. There's an Arabic word, the root of the word was magadel, which means a plaiter of women's hair or hairdresser. And it's very possible that Mary Magdalene got her name because of her occupation, because she was a hairdresser. And you know, this explains maybe more than the coming from the fishing town of Magdala, because I think that she was a little more prosperous than those around her. So it's very possible that she had an income from her profession as a hairdresser that allowed her to be known as Mary Magdalene, and also allowed her the ability to support she and the other women, Jesus and the disciples, in the work that they were doing. Mary was freed from 7 demons by Jesus. We get this account in Luke 8, 1 and 3. And we know that she was possessed with these demons. And we know that Jesus removed them from her. And we know that she was devoted to Jesus and believed in Jesus' deity after this happened. This was a remarkable time for her and a remarkable part of her life, because she was completely under the control of these demons until Jesus stepped forward and removed these demons for her. But there is absolutely no biblical suggestion or reference that would link her to being a prostitute or of this type of a moral type past that Pope Gregory ascribed to her. Some say that maybe the demonic presence in her life may have caused some mental illness, some sickness, epilepsy, or maybe it was just the demons that had entered her from Satan, as the Bible says, and that Jesus removed the demons as he did. Whatever the case was, the Bible does not teach the points that Pope Gregory made in this erroneous depiction of Mary Magdalene that she has lived with throughout history. We do know that Mary Magdalene was devoted to Jesus, and she traveled with Jesus. She traveled with the apostles, with the disciples. There was a group of women that traveled. They supported the work of these apostles. They were instrumental. They were the ones that was able to, for the Savior and for his followers, to do the things that they did. No mention in the scripture at all of who Magdalene, Mary Magdalene was, her family ties, her parents, her age, her responsibilities, and maybe or maybe not her hometown. But we do know that Mary had the opportunity and the financial ability to travel with this group of teachers and was able to support them. She was, and regardless of the maybe the family or the responsibilities that she had. Women were treated differently back then than they are now. She may have had a difficult life, or it may have been an easy life in the days, but nothing stopped this woman from doing what she knew and believed that she should do. And she was very loyal, and she was very devoted. She was very faithful. She endured. She believed in Jesus, and she loved him, and he loved her. Mary Magdalene was a leader among those that believed. She was a follower of Christ. She had a very crucial role. She was a very prominent woman in the Bible. She is a woman that is mentioned in the New Testament scripture. In fact, in the Gospels, she is mentioned some 12 times, scholars say. And that is more mentioned than anyone else got in the Gospels. She was mentioned with Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was spoken about in the gospel. She was revered. She was acknowledged. She was respected by Jesus and all of the disciples. She is named in the scriptures. She was a most prominent character in this time with Jesus. But she was never linked by scripture as the wife of, or the daughter of, or the mother of anyone. She was simply referred to as Mary Magdalene, a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. What we know from her, from biblical scriptures, this is what we're taught about Mary Magdalene, and this is all we're taught about her. Jesus removed 7 demons from her that she was professed, that it inhabited her. We know this to be true. This happened. We know that she was at the crucifixion at the feet of Jesus as he was crucified. We know that she was at the disposition and the burial of Jesus and was there to begin to make the burial preparations, the very hasty preparations, before Jesus was put in the tomb before the Sabbath day began. We know that she was the first person at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She was the first person that Jesus saw, that the Bible records, and the first person that Jesus spoke to. That's all the Bible tells us about her. And from these facts, Pope Gregory wrote all of these sermons that were accepted by tradition and was passed down through the generations, and none of it was true, and thankfully it was finally reported. No woman ever became so famous so fast as did Mary Magdalene. And the reason she became famous is because of her loyalty and devotion to Jesus Christ and all of humanity. And womanhood especially can be raised because of the level of love and devotion that Mary Magdalene showed to her Savior. The first word out of the mouth of Jesus after he was resurrected that the Bible tells us was woman. It's the first word Jesus said. When Jesus spoke a name, the very first name Jesus said after he spoke was the word Mary. Mary was not able only to talk to Jesus and to hear Jesus and to be the first name spoken and identified as woman first. She was also able to see the two angels in the tomb that Peter and John were not allowed to see. She was given a very prominent position in history and in the Bible, and she got it because of her love and devotion and the faith that she had to Jesus Christ. Let's talk about her a little more in a scriptural way. She was the first person to see the risen Lord and the first person to hear the Lord speak. The love that she had and the devotion that she had toward Jesus was what brought her to the tomb. It was what kept her at the tomb. It was what kept her at the Calvary's crucifixion when all the others scattered. They were gone. The disciples were gone. Most of the women were gone. But Mary and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and maybe a few others were at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. And her love was rewarded with the love of Jesus in return. She was a woman that had deep devotion. She anointed Jesus for his burial to prepare him for the burial. And of course, it was just putting spices on. There was no way to embalm one. But by putting on these spices, they were able to at least synthesize things, I guess you could say. She was a woman in deep devotion because she was the first to arrive at the tomb. The women were more devoted and caring to Christ in these individuals and to the individual Christ in these times, because according to the Bible, it looks like that the disciples and the men, they left. But the women stayed around, and they were there for Jesus Christ. She stood at the cross, and she rose early, immediately, as soon as the Sabbath day was over, on Sunday morning, to go to the tomb of Jesus Christ. She has a very prominent place in biblical novels, in biblical paintings, more than any other women. There's no reason to believe that Mary was a wicked woman, other than the opinion of this Roman Catholic priest, Gregory. But thousands and thousands, uncountable thousands of sermons have been preached since this time on this life of sin that Mary lived. And maybe we know she was sinful, she was a human being, but we do not know to what degree. We do know that whatever sin she committed, it was forgiven of her, and that she was able to live the right life, and the devotion that she had to Jesus was never diminished. Jesus saved her when he found her with seven demons, when she was under the power of Satan. Jesus saw her, had compassion on her. He removed these demons, and he saved this woman. She never forgot it, and she became a very powerful witness for Jesus Christ. And I think no other reason than that at all to cast benefit of doubt upon her past lives and her past sins, and to respect her past rather than to cast doubt upon her morality, regardless of the speculations and the teachings of man. She was another woman that had been healed, followed Christ with deep devotion because his healing power had given them life, given them their lives back, and had given them freedom. They had been delivered from Satan when they were in the holds of Satan, and now Mary Magdalene was devoted to the Savior because he had saved her. In scriptures, scriptures do not put a blot on Mary Magdalene. I think maybe we ought to look at scriptures and look at the Holy Bible instead of listen to the rant and the raves of a Roman Catholic priest in 590 AD, 591, as he gives his opinions upon a woman. The sun had not even risen yet on this early Sunday morning when the Sabbath day was over, when Mary Magdalene picked up all of her vials of oils and spices and headed back to the grave, to the tomb of Jesus Christ. It was still dark. In her mind, Jesus was dead. She had seen him die. She had started the preparations for the burial in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea as they had wrapped him up according to the traditions of the day, cast him, put him in this tomb, and rolled a stone before it. He was dead. She knew he was dead because she was part of the preparation. She never expected to see Jesus again, but yet, because of the devotion that she had to him, she was up early Sunday morning to go complete the job that she had started on Friday. Let me give you one point that we can see about Mary Magdalene. This was a woman whose life was transformed by Jesus Christ. when he delivered her from these demons, he delivered this woman from a life of sin, and he gave her life, and he gave her freedom. And she believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. Number two, this is a woman who was present at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This tells you how devoted this woman was, and the other women with her. When all of the men had fled, she was there. She was at this crucifixion. She was devoted to the Savior. And number three, here's a woman that got up early on Sunday morning to go back to the tomb to finish the job that she had started. It said that the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. This was unexplainable. You know, this was a pretty serious time in the time of Jesus and in the time of these early believers in Jesus. Jesus had been a teacher, and he'd been going through the land. He was popular, and everything seemed to be going well, and then he was arrested. He was abused. He was beaten. Then he was crucified in a death sentence that was illegal. They had watched this. They knew he was dead. They knew that he had been prepared for a hasty burial, and he had been placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They knew what this had happened, and it was very frustrating. It was very uncertain and an unknown time, because all of these people had seen their Savior that they believed in the deity. They had seen him die. And as far as they knew, he was still dead in this tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But when the Sabbath day was over, the woman rose and went to the tomb early with the spices to prepare. It says that about 4 a.m., Mary Magdalene and another Mary came to the tomb. The urgency then is explained. They had served Jesus in life, and they were going to continue to serve him even in his death. But when they got to the tomb, amazingly, the stone had been rolled back, which means this huge stone had been pushed uphill, and it had been blocked so that it was unable to roll down and fill its hole in the tomb. This was unusual. This was unbelievable. This was something that could not have been done without great effort. And she announced. She runs. She comes to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord. They've taken him out of the sepulchre. And we don't know where they have laid him. It said that Peter went forth, and John, and they came to the sepulchre. It said that when Peter came to the sepulchre, he walked inside the burial tomb, and he looked at the grave wrappings that had been thrown hastily in the corner. But then he found the face napkin that was over the Savior. And they said it had been folded and laid in another spot. And Peter said, this is not the work of grave robbers. This is not the way grave robbers would have done. There's too much care here. And he began to think about the things that Jesus has said. And I think that the revelations begin to unfold in the mind of Peter. It said, then John walked into the tomb. And it said that faith wells up and sorrow is drowned out as Peter and John comprehend a miraculous resurrection. Jesus had been teaching about this resurrection. He'd been telling them that he would die, that he would rise. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't understand it. But now the wheels begin to turn and the light bulbs begin to come on. And they begin to realize that there was more to this, and it was certainly unnatural, and that something great and miraculous had happened. And now, as had been predicted, now they begin to understand what Jesus was talking about. John, the 20th chapter, verses 10 through 18, give us a real good picture of what happened at this point. John 20, verse 10. Then the disciples went away into their own home. Really don't understand this, but it's interesting. Peter and John left. They went into the tomb. They saw what they had to see, and they left. It said, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she did not realize, she knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith to her, first words out of his mouth after the resurrection according to the Bible, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where they have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus then said to her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things unto her. She saw two angels, and she talked to these angels of the Lord. Now we'd have to remember that Peter and John were just in this tomb and they didn't see the angels, but Mary did. And then she saw a man standing behind her, and it is logical. This is the gardener. That's his job. And she said, where have you taken Jesus? She did not recognize the Savior. And even after asking the reason that she was weeping, Mary still does not recognize Jesus. And then Jesus called her name Mary. And she knew exactly who it was. Immediate recognition after this. The first word he said was woman. The first name he called was Mary. She saw angels that Peter and John did not see. And now Jesus is speaking to her. And when she hears him call her name, she knows immediately who it is. She knows the Master's voice. And she was told, go to the disciples and tell them what has happened. What a meeting. What a day. What a morning this must have been for this woman. She had gone to the tomb to put spices on the dead body. And then she meets the resurrected Christ and the Lord face to face. She talked to him. She saw and she talked to the angels. And she was told to go back and tell the men just exactly what she had seen and what she had heard. So let's wrap it up. Let's conclude. Mary Magdalene provides an example of the power of God to transform a life, because Jesus transformed her life when he took the devils away. I don't know how deeply she was into sin. I don't know how good she was or how bad she was, but whatever it was, she was forgiven. And she was made into a new creature with a new purpose in life. Mary Magdalene suffered under the control of the demons, but was delivered by Christ. And if you want to go through the books of the Bible, you can see case after case after case of these same types of repentance and salvation, even as Mary Magdalene at this time. Be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed. And Mary's love and devotion to Jesus earned her a special and an enviable position in biblical history, because she loved Jesus, and Jesus loved her. It's very clear that Mary Magdalene was a very strong and a faithful supporter. She was one of the few people that did not leave Jesus' side after he was arrested and when he was hung and was suffering upon this cruel cross, dying upon this cross, because she stayed there at the feet of that cross while this happened. And when the time came to bury Jesus, she was there. She was the one that was trying to prepare him for a hasty burial and wrap him and get him into the tomb before the sun went down. And when everything else seemed to fall apart, Mary Magdalene and the women with her rose up and remained strong and remained faithful until the end. The life of Mary Magdalene is a very important lesson that we can read. It teaches us how to live courageously. It teaches us to be faithful in Christ. It teaches us to do the things that we're supposed to do. Jesus set her free, and she never forgot it. And as a result, she lived her life for Jesus. The Bible tells us that Satan, as a roaring lion, seeks to devour us, to destroy us. He does anything he can to hold us back, to drive us down, to drive us away from God, just as he did with Mary. The devil was able to inflict her with seven demons, but the enemy didn't have the final say, because Jesus was able to save her from it. Jesus healed her, he freed her, and prepared her to tell other people of his power and his truth in her day and in our day as well. We can learn a lot from this simple woman, Mary Magdalene.